from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Back here at training camp. And coverage of Bills training camp brought to you by, presented by, Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it. And brought to you in part by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Mr. Sal Capaccio sitting down here with me, Jeremy, and Jody Biasi as well. What's up? How was day one? How was night one?
Day one was great. Night one was great. Got a chance to catch up with some of our colleagues, have a dinner last night. That was great. It's always a good time to get back here to St. John Fisher in Rochester. I love seeing, like, a lot of the people with the – what color shirt do you call this? These guys wearing over here?
Salmon.
Okay, the salmon shirt?
Yep.
All the people here at St. John Fisher, if you come here, all the staff that's wearing salmon shirts, I want everybody to know. You know what a lot of these people – there are a lot of teachers and retired teachers from the Rochester area. Mm-hmm. And they've been coming here and doing this for years, and they do such a great job. And I'm just really I'm really glad to be able to get here and say hi to them again. And colleagues, yeah. So day one yesterday for practice, that was great. See the fans out here. And, of course, you know, some surprises. And I wrote about it at WGR550.com. I think that, you know, the biggest to me notable development on the field was maybe DeMar Hamlin starting at safety. Mm-hmm. But we have to temper that with, is that because Mike Edwards is still recovering from, not necessarily recovering, but he was a little behind,
yeah.
You know, through missing some stuff in the – and in conjunction with DeMar had a good spring. So it's kind of a nod to, hey, you did a really good job there. And I thought that was very notable.
Following Joe and I had a quick conversation about Micah Hyde and where the mm-hmm. Bills might have things with him. Someone asked, you know, would you write that off? And, you know, Sal, we've talked about this before. I'm not going to write it off until I don't even know when. How open do you think they have to be to Micah? If he says, I want to come back, he has a spot?
No. Okay.
Because
I listen to you guys too, and I think it's a really great conversation. This piggybacks on a lot of the tweets I get from people. Like yesterday, has Micah made his decision yet? Like, there's no. This is not like if Micah Hyde wants a spot, he's on the Bills. This is not if Micah Hyde. Well, if he wants to retire, he retires, of course.
Yeah.
Listen, this has always been where, hey, we have our roster. You're a free agent. Because the Bills, they could offer Micah Hyde a contract today.
Yeah.
If they really wanted him on the team right now, doesn't mean he's going to say yes. There's no contract on the table from anything we know. This has always been a, hey, he's a free agent. He's going to stay in shape. We're going to stay in contact with him. We're going to play the season and see how it goes. And at some point, if we feel we need someone, he's the best candidate for us.
Yeah.
So we'll reach out to him. And if Micah Hyde at some point, though, on the flip side goes, man, I am ready. I want to go back. I want to play. Well, guess what? What's the contract look like? How much do you need to sign him? How much money do we have? The Bills aren't signing Micah Hyde to some normal starter's contract. They don't have that kind of money or wherewithal to do that.
Okay. So it's a little bit like, because as we got into the conversation, someone referred to it as like an extra practice squad spot. I'm now thinking of Beasley and John Brown returning.
Yes.
A.J. Klein returning.
That's exactly what
like
you should think
Josh
of it is.
Josh Norman returning.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you should think about it as.
Stay close.
This is not, I don't know. I think there's some sort of thought from fans that this is all about, well, if Micah Hyde wants to play, he's playing in the Buffalo Bills. That is not the case. It is, if Micah Hyde wants to play and the Buffalo Bills have a spot and the money for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then it will happen. And sure, is there a scenario where Micah Hyde says, hey, Brandon, I really want to play. Just get me in the building. I can help. And Brandon goes, I'll find that for you. But let's be realistic and let's sort out what that role looks like.
Yeah.
Sure, that could happen. This is not Micah Hyde's making a decision for the Buffalo Bills roster.
Right.
That is not happening.
And there's the money part that you mentioned. And two, like the position, which kind of relates to yesterday, Hamlin and Mike Edwards, you know, getting a little healthier since the spring. How likely do you think it is at that position that we are going to be sitting here in October saying, yeah, they could really use Micah Hyde right now? Like, there's still a lot to be figured out, and Cole Bishop is probably number one, like, of what he's going to be. But I guess I'm not really thinking a lot about, oh, man, midway through the year, we're going to feel like they're in trouble at safety.
I agree with you. I think this comes down to one word, injuries. If the Bills have injuries and they have to go find someone, Micah Hyde is the most likely replacement for them. Now it comes down to, are you healthy? Do you want to play? What can we pay you? What do you want to be paid? Play on the field, again, there's, you can go get a guy to help out, but are you getting Micah Hyde to be, as you said today, your fifth safety?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if it's like a little uneven at safety and it's not great, is he the starter? Is Micah Hyde coming back to Buffalo to be a backup? I mean, that's where I say, like, there's a lot that would have to be washed
okay,
out.
Can there. I ask two real quick follow-up?
Yeah.
Because I think probably the best player that is available today in the NFL is Justin Simmons.
Right.
Right.
Like, would they autumn, if they got injuries, they've got the Trey White money. I know it's not a ton, but do we think they would automatically even go to Hyde then? Because there, again, there are a couple, Simmons is really top of the list. That's a good player that is still available.
It feels to me like Justin Simmons has kind of priced himself out of a job a little bit.
Yeah.
And I wonder what kind of money he wants. People have to remember, like, it's not just, you can't just, yeah, A.J. Klein, you know, what's the story? He was getting on vacation, going with his family. Well, hey, he's been in the league a long time, obviously, and he was willing to play for the minimum salary, essentially. Mm-hmm. Is Micah Hyde willing to do that? Is Justin Simmons willing to do that? Probably not in either case. I don't know, right? I think, yes, that would be, you could call Justin Simmons. Now you have to have, what's the price, what's your role? And, I mean, it's not like he's walking into a defense he's necessarily super familiar with. I don't know exactly all the schemes and how they would match up. Whereas Micah Hyde would, I always use the example, guys. People say, like, about how Cole Bishop, here, this is the Cole Bishop question. Oh, man, Cole Bishop, people think he can just walk in and start. And I said, listen, there's a reason why the Bills have guys who know this system all the time. Who are the guys they've always reached back for? Kurt Coleman, Dean Marlowe. These are guys who know the system. Justin Simmons sitting out there, if you're sitting there in November, how much of a ramp-up does Justin Simmons need to understand the Bills' defense versus a Micah Hyde in that situation?
Sal Capaccio here from St. John Fisher. All right, so recapping day one, red zone early. A lot of red zone, too. A lot of it. A lot of touchdowns, the offense versus defense. When it comes to evaluating, you know, what you're watching out there, offense, defense, and red zone, do you find red zone to be more of like a, we're really looking at what the offense does kind of drill? Even though, I mean, the defense is there.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's a tough job for them, it seems like.
It's very tough. You can't. There's not a lot of hitting, right? You can't tackle. You're not really, and it's a short area space. It kind of favors a little bit more the offense in that setting because they can't be real physical with you. Because red zone's tough to score since you're so physical and there's a lot of big bodies in there. That said, your defense has a job. You're not touching the quarterback. As you mentioned, Josh is running around a little bit. Gives you a little bit more space. I also would say this, the biggest reason. People say to me all the time, well, Sal, isn't the defense supposed to be ahead of the offense? Yes, it is. But in that situation, everything's scripted. They have a plan. The offense goes in with, this is what we're trying to get accomplished on day one in the red zone. Here's our plan. Here's who's on the field. Here's the plays. I think they went in ready to know, we got to see this. And it worked out for them. So to me, the offense is ahead of the defense in that particular setting anyway. When we go 11 on 11, full field, let's see if the defense is a little bit more ahead of the offense. And I wouldn't even – I'd put the offense ahead of the defense without pads anyway. They just can't be physical with them.
Right.
You know, so let's wait till the pads come on before we do all that.
How much of yesterday was, you know, meaningful to who we might see this year get some of the red zone work and who was impressive? Like, Coleman made some great catches. Kincaid, Sal, felt like he was everywhere.
Yeah.
He only had 2 touchdowns last year, and I looked up. He only had 9.
He beat that yesterday. He had 3 yesterday.
Yeah. He had 91 targets on the season last year.
Yeah.
Only 9 of them were in the red zone. Like,
yeah.
He wasn't really used there a lot. And, again, it's one practice, but, I mean, we at least think he's going to have more than 2 touchdowns.
Oh, I mean, listen, they have – what struck me is, and I asked Josh about this when he did his podium, it wasn't just that they scored a lot. It was the number of people they went to that scored. MVS had one. Claypool had one. Shorter had one. Coleman had one.
Shavers had two,
you think.
Yeah.
I even said I might have missed one. Kincaid had 3. I think Claypool had one. I know they were they threw it to him one. The two running backs, Gore and Davis, each had one in that period,
Coleman,
I think it was.
Had that bullet that came into him that he had to, like, lean back for
they,
and catch.
Yeah. Was that the one they called no touchdown, though?
There was that was one. A different one. There was another one.
Yeah, they called no, yeah. And they all celebrated. But
yeah.
That's, to me, what strikes me is they have a plethora of options down there, and I think they want to really focus on that area, making sure they finish drives and have that ability to throw the ball in the end zone. And how much what we'll see, Joe? Yeah, I mean, listen, these are big-bodied guys. And plus, you know the guy we didn't mention who's, I think, going to be a part of the red zone? Dawson Knox.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dawson Knox, you put Dawson and Dalton on the field in the red zone, I think it gives Josh even more options there because you could run the ball, you could throw the ball. So I do think we saw a lot of yesterday of what they want to do, which is really, I don't know, red zone by committee. Like, you just throw a lot of big bodies out there who know how to get open and catch the ball in spaces like that, and you have opportunity.
Sal Capaccio. All right, so after red zone, what else did we see out there? Your takeaways from practice, whether it's an individual, if it's a unit, what did you see?
Catch radius of these wide receivers and these drills down here. Now, we, you know, it's funny. You might have had my video for the viral video of Keon Coleman because I had him coming right at me in the corner there where he goes up and high points it. If you remember at the end of camp, mini camp, I had the video of the final pass to Keon Coleman from Josh Allen before and he had the exact same catch on the other side, right?
Yeah. I said to Joe, like, that's the Keon Coleman highlight is the spinning,
it's exactly
twirling,
what it
toe
is.
Tap, high ball.
And he did it, but I'm going to tell you guys. He did it. Chase Claypool did it. I have a video of that. He catches, like, the back end of the football and taps in, right? Mac Hollins did it, but he just got his foot out, and he was mad. He was mad. He actually, I think he was mad that he disappointed his team and Josh for not getting in, right? He was mad that he didn't get his foot in. He's like, right? But anyway, he caught one. I didn't have that on there. I think that stood out to me that, like, it's so funny. I think about this. Like, when Josh was drafted, okay, I had a conversation with Joe Shane, who said, we were like, hey, everybody says this guy, what about the accuracy, whatever. Joe Shane said, it was me and Josh Reed. Josh Reed will tell you this story. It was really great. We were just kind of having our own conversation. And Joe Shane goes, listen, the guy, if he said, we'll work with him this way and that way. But what he said was, if he's not the most accurate, we'll get him guys that have catch radius, right? We'll help him with that. Well, guess what? That didn't work out the first year or so.
Mm-hmm.
What'd they go with? Those smaller guys, Cole Beasley's who come in. And, yeah, Josh needs guys who can separate. It seems to me like they've kind of gone back to we're going to have guys who have these catch radiuses that can help out. And, you know, he doesn't have to be pinpoint accurate. I'm watching these drills going, these guys can catch the ball, even if it's not exactly where it needs to be.
See, I wonder, as you say that, I almost wonder if it works the opposite way. Because Allen was so inaccurate when he showed up. And when guys don't get open, you can't really miss, right? Like, because the coverage is right there. Versus a John Brown who had 5 yards between him and a defender. Like, Josh could put it behind him a little bit, and the guy would still catch it. I almost wonder now if that works better because Allen can put the ball wherever he wants. You know what I mean? Like, because if Coleman, I'm thinking of a Coleman play where he makes a catch like that that you recorded yesterday where he's spinning and the toe tapping, but he's got a corner right on him.
Yep.
And that's a pass where, like, you need Allen to be accurate on those. That ball's got to be in a nice spot high above where the defender can't get it. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with your point. I'm just wondering if
I don't know if it's the right way to do it. Well, I'm just telling you that.
I'm just wondering if it worked better now because you have a different Josh Allen than what you had
then.
And also, let's be honest, like those catch radius guys, Kelvin Benjamin, like we're talking no separation. Can I get a little from these guys?
The difference
here
is these guys versus that and Andre Holmes, right?
Andre Holmes was like, the other starting
these guys. They're athletes. Like, I mean, not that those guys aren't, but you're right. You're right. These guys seem like they're catch radius guys who are big. You guys saw Chase Claypool. The dude's calves are as big as my thighs. It's crazy, right? I mean, these guys are big, strong dudes.
Matt Collins is practice. I don't want to get too overreactionary on this, but when he was with the Raiders 2 years ago, was a downfield threat.
Yes.
Like, he's big, but he can run. And I think he's on this team, by the way.
There's plenty of maybe evidence about part of this catch radius stuff that the speed guy, whether that's MVS or Mac Hollins or if that's Claypool.
MVS had one yesterday too.
That X receiver role is, and this is maybe one of the reasons like you move on from a Diggs, is you're not using that position the same way anymore. It's more clearing out for the middle of the field and using formations differently. You know, on Hollins, Mac Hollins, people point out to me a lot that Josh seems to mention Mac Hollins a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, he's one of my guys. Joe and I have a bet who makes the team. And Mac Hollins is on my list.
He's on the team. It would be.
He was out here this morning working with, like, Justin Shorter. He's the veteran of the room on top of special teams. And, like, if we want to talk production, Sal, like, he had a season 2 years ago where he had more targets than, like, Valdes-Scantling ever had in a season, more yards. 690, like, he even played offense 2 years ago, and it didn't go that poorly.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
No, I think Josh really has connected with Mac Hollins. I think he likes him, but their personalities mesh a lot together, which is really good, you know. And look, we could say all these things about Stephon Diggs and all the stuff that happened and Diggs and Allen, and there was so much about do they like each other, do they not, and we go back and forth, and some people point out one way, some people point out the other way. I just think that so much of the attention was on Stephon Diggs, right? Whereas now, like, Josh has these guys who, they don't have that true alpha male who's getting the attention all the time. And to me, Josh is that guy. And they come here wanting to perform for Josh, if that makes sense, right? Like, I'm playing with this elite quarterback. I got to do a job for him. And Josh has become kind of more of that leader. That's why I think he's talking about some of these guys in the way, I think, in this way. I think that's because of Josh's also, his personality, his leadership, and what they want. They wanted to give him and surround him with so he can be kind of that guy to take charge a little bit. And that's why I said, I think that Matt Collins was like kind of disappointed that he didn't get in yesterday because he felt he let Josh down, you know, in that play. Anyway, yes, I think Matt Collins is on the team. You also asked me other things that I noticed. I mean, obviously the big thing, Matt Milano, big question about Matt Milano. He did everything yesterday. Everybody was available yesterday. Can you guys ever remember a time that you've ever been at training camp where the Bills did not have a player on the PUP list or the injured list? I can't. I mean, knock on wood, right? This team started yesterday with all 91 players active and available in a full capacity, not even limited. There was not even a player where Sean McDermott said, he's going to be limited today. You know, we're working him back from something. Everybody's full. Matt Milano was full, and he was out there with Terrell Bernard. I mean, listen, I agree with you, Joe. I think you said the defense. You think defense can be good, really good, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay. I mean, like, I wrote down the numbers and the starters. You were with me. I said, Joe, give me the numbers. Who's starting, right?
Yeah.
And we looked, and I looked at those numbers. I'm like, this is like a good group, man. I mean, Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, right? Rousseau, Epinesa, Von Miller, whoever you go there. Milano and Terrell Bernard together, linebacker, if they can be healthy. I mean, this front seven can be really, really good. And Matt Milano, to me, you know, he's such a key. He did everything yesterday. That was a big deal. Kind of watch him. I spoke with Terrell Bernard a little bit after practice and said, hey, it's good to see you and Matt together. Guys, his eyes lit up like, oh, my God, Sal. And he goes, it's nothing against the other guys, but this is an all-pro veteran player. He knows where to be, when to be there, the communication piece of it. And he's so good at what he does, which is everything, I think he's going to even make Terrell Bernard better at being able to do what he does.
McDermott did say he'll be managed throughout camp. Do we think that might mean, like, there might be some days where he's limited?
A veteran rest day. Yeah. I think to me that's, like, what you do with Micah and Jordan the last few years.
Okay.
Right? Like, hey, these are older guys. They've had a few bumps and bruises.
Sure.
Let's manage them.
That's the old line from SportsCenter. He's day-to-day, but then again, aren't we all? Aren't we all day-to-day?
That's right.
Sal, early reviews on the kickoff. It's going to be fun. I think it's going to be
guys,
fun.
Are you watching this? I mean, we can't – I think this is one of the things where we can't tell you exactly how they're lining up. What we can tell you is – it's really weird watching a kickoff in the air and no one moving until it's caught. It just seems weird.
Yep.
It's like in slow motion.
Yeah. I think it's going to be great. At least early on in the season, and definitely the preseason, it goes from a play that became nothing to the most interesting five plays of the preseason are going to be kickoffs. Like, I'm going to want to see how they're handled. So, well, I also wonder, like, what these teams will do. They've got to practice things, but if you have an idea, it's almost like every team is installing the wildcat, right? You got to all be ready for it. But maybe we have something secret we can save to week 9 when we see something on tape.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Like, there's a whole ecosystem of special teams that's about to be turned on its ear.
Oh, you put that thought in people's. We're gonna hear calls before a playoff game. Like, I wonder if they saved anything from training camp for the playoffs.
Here's a really good story for you. I know I talked with Shelton Bulldog about this. Not sure about you guys, but here's a good story for the listeners too. So, I had a really great long conversation with Matthew Smiley about all this right around minicamp. We just kind of talked about, like, I'm like, man, this is how I envision it. This is what I see happening. I'm so into this. And I would bring something up, and he'd tell me, well, yeah, but this here. So one of the things he said was, he said, think about it this way, though, Sal. When you go to all these conventions and you're at the he said, like, the offensive line coaches, for example, are fraternity. Offensive line coaches love each other and share everything all the time. How do you block this? How do you block that? They're helping each other because who's your opponent? The defensive line coach.
Yeah.
You're not telling the D-line coach, right? That he said, special teams coaches have to go against each other.
Yeah.
You aren't really sharing everything with them. You're having your own ideas to beat him. You could talk a little bit about the challenges, but you're not going into a room going, hey, what are we all going to do here? He said, it's kind of, we're a fraternity to ourselves, but we're a very competitive fraternity because we're not together facing each other. I thought that was super interesting.
That's such a good point about the way that those coaches would interact. That's fun. All right, so
Can I get one thing on the defense in real quick?
If
you even have anything on it. Did you see anything from Von Miller? Like, any way of judging, like, how?
The only thing I saw that he was on the field with the first team offense and 11-on-11. And I didn't really necessarily watch him specifically.
Sure.
I think that'll be more so when the pads come on.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And they'll do some one-on-ones and stuff like that. So, but it was good to see him out there with the starting defense yesterday.
Vaughn?
Yeah, I mean, they rotated a little bit. Good. They rotated a little bit. You know, and Rousseau, Epinesa, they were out there as well. Cole Bishop was with the second team with Mike Edwards. We can tell you, first and second team, people are wondering, can you report that? Yes, it's okay.
Yeah. The rules are loosened a bit at camp because there are people
in the stands. When there are people here, if there's closed practices, we can't.
How interesting is it that Kyrie Elam will get some snaps with the first unit? Like, I still don't really think that there's a job for him above Douglas or Benford.
Agreed.
But, I mean, he's at least getting a look.
He's got to beat someone out, and I think that's probably unlikely. But, man, if he can just be a quality baseline third boundary corner, like you said, Dane Jackson, right?
Yeah.
That to me, that Dane Jackson, if you can be Dane Jackson, that's great. How interesting is it? Very interesting, because I think it just shows the reaffirmation of the spring he had and the team telling him, hey, we're going to keep this going. And I'm telling you guys, another time, Sean McDermott said a clean slate for him. Do not discount the fact that John Butler's not here. It seemed like Kyrie Lim and him just didn't have the right connection. And John Butler's a fantastic coach. His players love him. But sometimes it's just not the right fit for a certain player. New DB coach, new defensive coordinator. You know, I think Kyrie Elam's also approaching it as, I have a fresh start, and he's really kind of run with that a little bit.
Hall of Fame game is when?
A week from tonight.
Let's go.
Wait, really? It's
yes. Yeah. It kept,
a week from tonight.
Wow.
7 days.
Who's playing?
It's the Steelers and the Cowboys?
No, it's the Bears and the Texans.
Okay.
Bears and the Texans.
For whatever reason, the website, I saw Cowboys helmet.
Will Caleb Williams play in that game, or will we see him in Buffalo for his first game?
Let's hope it's here.
I bet he doesn't play in the Hall of Fame game. I bet we're going to see third string quarterbacks all day in that game. Yeah. That's usually what we get now in the Hall of Fame game. Yep. Maybe a brief appearance. Like, we're definitely also not going to see Diggs, right? Wouldn't it be stunning if Diggs played in the Hall of Fame?
No. I mean, so does that mean next week? Tell me the calendar. So next week, starting next week, will we have either NFL or college football every week until February?
I think so.
When is week zero?
Because
college football, Ireland?
NFL has three preseason weeks. They take a week off, but college plays that week. That's Labor Day weekend, so yeah. I think we're good.
Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
When we get back, the NFL Top 100 starting to come out, and here's a fun little thing we've learned. There's an NFL player who refused to say the name of the number one player. Said he's the best, wouldn't say his name. Get you that story next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.